Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Fringe of It.
Episode number 27.
A podcast hosted by me, Liv Purvis of What Olivia Did.
And me, Charlotte Jacqueline from Betty. Me and Liv, Liv and I.
You did this last week.
Ah, it's just, just when I think I've got it. Basically, we forget that we never introduce ourselves, and somebody messaged me the other day and said, oh, my daughter listens to your podcast and I follow you on Instagram, but we didn't realise you were the same person. And I thought, well, yeah, that's because we never introduce ourselves on the podcast.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, we just assume that there might be new people.
Hello, new people.
Hello.
I'm overjoyed because my period arrived today.
Oh, Brett did it, finally.
Yeah.
I feel like you've been talking about it for comfortably the last 7 days.
I said on Instagram, sometimes I feel like my period turns up like a stealth spy and I'm like, whoa there, did not see you come in. And then other weeks, it's like you can see the horizon, there's a hill and the circus is coming over the top.
Oh,
and it just takes so long and there's spots and there's moods and there's bloating and there's
normally
crying.
It's like a good 2 weeks of like build up and actual and...
Yeah, and I thought it was here yesterday, but it wasn't. It was just very dark and I was very tired.
It was dark and I was tired.
And it arrived today, so I'm thrilled. I don't know what to say. I was going to stop talking about my period, but I can't stop.
So I was going to say, well, what have you been up to this week? And that has obviously been
that's taken a huge
thing for you.
It's taken up a lot of my time. I have a period tracker. Do you have a period tracker?
I do, but I think I need a different one because sometimes it's just like, you are ovulating. You are. It just says everything on one day. I'm like, this can't be possible.
Mine is just for periods. I know some people like them to monitor their ovulation, but I just want to know what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Normally, I don't want to know all those things. I just want to know when I'm due on.
Yeah. But mine can fluctuate from 32 days to 41.
Wow.
Yeah.
that's a long period.
thank goodness it doesn't go on for that long.
Oh, my God. Sometimes it feels like it, doesn't it?
I feel like this conversation about periods has been going on for too long. What have I been up to this week? I've been hosting. I've had lots of house guests.
Oh!
Jack's mum and dad have been to visit Lincoln for the first time since he moved in.
Oh!
And I've had Jack's younger sister here with her boyfriend, as June calls them, Daisy and Meech.
Oh,
that's how she says his name's Mitch, and she goes Mitch.
Oh, I haven't heard her. I haven't seen her since she's been like properly chatting.
Oh, it's really cute. She's at nursery today, so Liv's a bit annoyed because she's come to Lincoln and she's not here. Her things are here. We can maybe play with her wooden till later.
Oh, no,
in abacus.
I'm looking at her little chair setup, and there's a cactus on my chair and Peter Rabbit on another. they're sitting on a table with a till and an abacus. Like the normal kind of standard setup.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just totally normal for my house. What have you been up to?
Oh, so much. I had to make notes.
You're tired?
Yeah, I had to make notes. Where do I begin? So after we recorded last week, I went to see Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, how was the Arctic Monkeys?
They was good.
Were they good?
They were so good.
That's where Jack's sister's gone today. That's why she was here. She's gone to Sheffield.
Oh, is this near Sheffield? Are we near Sheffield?
Well, it would take you an hour-ish.
Okay, fine. Yeah, no, they were brilliant. They did 4 new songs, which was just enough for me.
Yeah, not too many.
Yeah, just enough to whet the appetite of the new album, but it was amazing. They're so good. And then I just got back from Salka.
Oh, so you did.
It was so gorgeous.
That's Devon, right?
It is Devon.
The place that you stayed, is that got something to do with Hercule Poirot?
I don't know.
It looked a bit like that, the Art Deco kind of scene for a murder.
Yeah, I wanted to know more about the history because we stayed in a place called The Malt, which is this huge house. and it has, I think it houses up to 24 people, so it had loads of bedrooms. Like, some of them you literally could do the most epic game of hide and seek ever. And that's how, I describe how big a house is. I'm like, well, think of hide and seek.
Did you play hide and seek?
I didn't. That was an opportunity wasted.
That, yeah, okay. Noted for next time.
It would have gone on for hours, but it was so beautiful. And it was amazing. It was with Lizelle, and there were lots of different like bloggers and people. And it's one of those things, whenever I go on a trip like that, as lovely as it is, I always come away and then I'm like, do that thing where I go, oh God, was I really annoying? Oh my God, was I really loud? And I think when you know people, you get more confident and like a bit more chatty. And I think,
yeah, I know.
I was like,
oh
my God, I don't want to be the girl that loves the sound of her own voice. She says recording her podcast. But, but I just got really worried. But it was such a gorgeous trip. I did look at how much the place would be to stay in, because I was like, I could definitely take all my family and friends here. I could not do that.
Okay, you will be staying at the Travel Lodge down the road.
I'll write down how much it is for a week in July.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, it's spenny. It's beautiful though. It was such a gorgeous trip.
I can't get over those numbers.
I know.
I think we should tell people.
I mean, I looked because I was like, oh, definitely £21,000.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming. I thought you were going to say 2,000, and I was like, come on, Liv.
No, for a split second, I was thinking, how much would you have to split that for 24 people? I'm like, it's still a lot.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
But yeah, I did that, which was absolutely lovely. Oh my God, I've got to tell you one more thing that I did.
She's crossing them off her list as she goes through them.
But I did something on Saturday, which I'm actually going to save, but on Sunday, I went to a sing-along of Mamma Mia 2.
Joe's face on Instagram stories as you were taking him.
Oh, it was so good.
Why did he agree to it?
I don't know. I think it's because he didn't think I was going with anyone else, and he realised like my mum, my dad was there, two of my friends were there, and he was like, why am I here? I thought no one else was coming.
Oh, so he felt sorry for you because he thought you had no one to go with. Turns out
there were people that wanted to join me after all, but I'm really trying to not mention this every single week. Someone actually, do you know what? I actually commented, this might have to be cut out actually, but I commented on someone's Instagram photo because in the caption, they said, I think my soulmate might be carbs. And that's what Julie Walters says in Mamma Mia 2. And then I like commented saying, have you just quoted Julie Walters in Mamma Mia 2? And someone said, commented on my comment saying, the most consistent thing about Instagram these days is you talking about Mamma Mia 2. And I was like, oh dear. So I'm desperately trying. This will be the last time until the DVD comes out.
When is the DVD coming out?
I don't know. It
better be ready for Christmas.
Oh God, no, I think it's due out quite soon because I think they're doing some more press. Anyway, blah, 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 didn't say that. But yeah, it was amazing. I feel like everyone should go to a sing-along cinema experience for any film once in their life.
What would I like to go to? No, do you know what? I wouldn't like to go to a sing-along. I want to go to the one where they do it with the Philharmonic.
Philharmonic? I did a...
Yeah, with the orchestra. That's what I would like.
I did Dirty Dancing sing-along, and I did the Notting Hill. Love Actually Orchestra, which was great.
Yeah, I really... Actually, the one sing-along I would like to go to is I saw Sister Act. They were doing that. I would have lost my mind.
People like, I love the fact that when you see it, people like go boo or like get really into it.
Do
like,
they? So they're then heckling.
I love it. Yeah, I'm just so here for it. But it was brilliant. They're all at the Prince Charles Cinema. So if you live in London or you're ever down in London, they have so many amazing sing along sessions. So for loads of different films. And I went to one actually when I was about 8 for The Sound of Music for a friend's birthday, and I didn't realise until like a couple of years ago. But
we've got Liv on a topic that you feel quite passionately about.
I do. That's actually today's podcast topic, guys. Sing-along. On that note, shall we move on to Telly Talk?
I'm really excited to tell you what I watched. I've written extensive notes on it on the BBC, and I love a Beeb drama.
Oh, you're telling me.
Live for one. It's called Trust, and it's about the House of Getty.
Ooh.
Based on a true story with embellished events, I must say. Don't read my notes.
I'm not. I'm just excited.
It's set in the 70s and it's about the House of Getty. So after a quick Google, Mark Getty, who founded Getty Images, is part of the same family that this programme is about. But I don't have a family tree, so I don't know in which way that they're related. More information to come. Anyway, it was great. The opening scene looks like a Slim Aaron's picture. It's by a poolside in this amazing mansion in, I assume, Los Angeles. And Pink Floyd song Money comes on, and I'm still unsure whether the band playing, whether they were Pink Floyd, like, you know, supposed to be Pink Floyd, or it was just playing in the background. But the opening scene, beware, is really graphic. I didn't watch it. I don't think this is spoiling anything, but the one of the sons of Sir Paul Getty kills himself, and that's the opening scene. So sorry if I've ruined that for anybody, but it's really horrible. And I watched it through, I didn't watch it, I watched Jack's face, and then Jack gives me the thumbs up as to when it's okay to watch it again. So don't let that put you off, because the rest of it is fantastic. So the introduction to the main character, who I've just mentioned, and the way that they do this makes you hate him from the second you see him. So he has a butler, but what I think it's quite telling, you know, if you did have a butler, you know, where do you draw the line? And his butler like pulls up his pants, and then the butler's got a toothbrush in his mouth, and he's cleaning his teeth, and then he like spits into a bucket.
Oh my god.
Mm.
That is a real,
yeah. And it's not that it was his persona as well, like the way he spoke to people, like the whole combination of those kind of things. And then he has a harem of girlfriends, so he's got four that he taps on the shoulder each night to go to the boudoir. And basically he's very disappointed with his children, so one of them has killed themselves, the other one is drug addicts, and he said that, you know, they're such a disappointment. You see his children, that they seem like reasonable, nice humans. But then his grandson turns up, and then this is where it all starts. So his grandson has got long hair, and you can see he's basically representative of the Woodstock free love kind of vibe. And it's about, you can Google it, it's his grandson gets kidnapped, and the whole series is about the kidnapping. Ooh. So the first episode is kind of setting up to the point where he gets kidnapped.
Ooh.
It's really good. The costumes, the scenes.
How did you discover it?
My friend Roma, I don't know if she listens, but hi Roma, messaged me and was like, me and her are like Fleetwood Mac obsessives. So she, you know, anything 70s, she's like, Charlotte, on this.
On this.
Yeah, she was like, you need to watch this tonight. And I said, Roma, I can't, I've got to wait for Jack. And she said, no.
No, you have not got to wait for Jack.
I did wait for Jack, but it, yeah, it's really, really good. So it's on BBC, and you can get it on the iPlayer.
Mm, so has it already been aired? So
I don't know anymore. iPlayer
is like a treasure trove of archived good.
Yeah, I mean it's on at the moment, but I don't know if how many episodes have been. I think only two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not a lot to catch up on, but very gripping.
Mm, lovely. What else have you been watching?
I've been reluctantly watching The Circle.
I missed the first episode of this, and I was really intrigued to see what was going on. Please, pray tell.
So, the reason I say reluctantly is because I'm really cross because there's no more First Dates Hotel. That's why I'm annoyed about it.
Oh, so that filled that gap.
Yeah, so it's taken the slot after the Bake Off on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. I thought, what a load of shite. And then 3 episodes later, here I am. So, as I say, Jack's younger sister was here, and we watched 3 episodes last night. I mean, these kids stay up till, I don't know what time. I left them at 11 o'clock. God knows what time they went to bed.
Oh, my God. And you still got 3 episodes in. How long are the episodes?
I want to say there must be an hour because we fast-forwarded the adverts.
Okay.
Or just forwarded the adverts, as you might.
Forward.
So, basically, there's 8 contestants presently. One just got blocked. And they have different rooms in this building, apartment block, but they're not allowed to see each other. They just message through this unique social media app that they've created. And one person, my favourite person, who is Freddie, they load up all his pictures, and he was like, who is this fine thing? I think we should all have a bit more confidence like Freddie.
Yeah.
And he is gay, but he's pretending to be straight because he doesn't want to be judged by his sexuality.
And are they real pictures of him?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he kind of went through. He's quite a lot of velvet jackets. And you might make a lot of assumptions. So he's tried to kind of find the most neutral kind of picture of himself so people can't make too many assumptions. And then another guy, I can't remember his name, he's gone in, and previously he's been catfished.
Right.
So now he is the catfisher. If that's what you call it. And he's pretending to be a girl, but using his girlfriend's pictures.
Right.
I know. And then there was another girl. She was pretending to be a junior doctor because she thought that... and she wasn't on social media at all. And she thinks social media is, you know, the devil's work. But she thought a junior doctor would be very trustworthy. A woman called Janelle. And she's gone on with her baby.
Oh, Oh, wow.
And I don't know how old her baby is. I'd probably say about 6 months, which is the peak cuteness.
Really?
I kept squealing at the TV.
Oh, my God. So what is the aim of this game?
So the aim of the game is to become the most popular. At the end of, I don't know how many episodes, so we watched the end of the second episode and somebody got blocked. So I assume at that point they bring in a new person. And there's a 50... Is there £50,000 or £10,000? There's money to be won.
Okay.
Fun house.
And they've got to be the most popular, so that's why they can like craft somebody essentially if they want to.
Yeah, if they think that that's the best strategy.
And how do they prove their popularity?
They can go off to private chats. They can go off to group chats. They can have dates with one another.
Oh, I think I'd have to watch this. I think it's one of those programs you have to watch.
It was intriguing.
Yeah.
It was very intriguing. And there was a guy called Dan, and he's brought his turtles, and that was just really cute.
Oh, okay. Everything saying I will like it so far.
Yeah, but Janelle's baby, I missed what the baby was called, but every time she came on the screen, I lost my mind. She is the cutest baby.
What's her baby called?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. Cute baby one.
Cute baby one.
Yeah, she's so, that sounds like an old so cute. But Janelle also isn't letting people know that she has a baby.
Right.
It's kind of that TV where you're like, what? Why am I watching?
Is it a bit Black Mirror-esque?
Yeah, it's really, yeah.
Bizarre.
I'll be tuning in.
Oh, okay, I might give it a watch then.
What have you been watching? I've been talking for quite some time. Sorry, listeners.
So you have. My turn. Okay, so the first thing, it's not a TV show, but it's connected to a TV show. Last week, I went to see Scylla.
Oh, you did, and I was so annoyed because I was supposed to come with you. But I actually turned out I wouldn't have been able to because I'd used my babysitting coupons.
Oh, okay. See, yeah, but I went to see Scylla.
May I interrupt and say your bottom eyelashes are so very long?
Oh, thank you.
Have they always been that long?
Yeah.
Are they real?
Yeah, well, no, they're extensions.
Well, you never know. Wow.
Thanks.
Carry on.
I'm going to shut my eyes now.
I won't look at you.
No, I went to see Scylla, and it's based on the TV adaptation.
I've watched 400 times.
Which was amazing. It was very, very similar. So it was done, I think it's created or produced by her son, Robert. Robert, I don't know why I rolled my R so much. It was so good. The girl who played Scylla was incredible. Her voice was amazing. And I went to follow her on Instagram, and she followed me all the time.
Did she?
And I was a fangirled, but she was brilliant. It was such an amazing production. Loved having a sing. Just, it was like they had the phone box moment and all those.
Oh,
it was,
with Bobby.
With Bobby. So good. I loved it so much.
Oh, I might watch Scylla tonight.
I feel like I need to watch it again. I absolutely loved it. Sheridan Smith was amazing.
So good.
Absolutely love it.
So anyone who has a heart would take me in his arms.
For a minute there, I was like, that's literally not the tune, but it is. You recovered it.
I'll stop singing now. I'll stop singing. Why do we sing every episode? Stop it.
That's you. So watch that. That wasn't on telly, but yeah, I've been obsessed with Bodyguard, as I keep mentioning.
I've not caught up because Jack's working away.
Well, it's the last one on Sunday.
So how many episodes are there?
Six.
Okay, I'm still on 15 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, you've got 5 hours and 40
minutes. It's really irritating when Jack works away.
Oh, it's so good.
Because, you know, I can't go forward.
Oh, it's brilliant though. I'm very excited for the finale, which by the time this actually goes up would have happened. Can't wait to debrief on that next week. But I'd started watching Killing Eve.
Oh, I feel like I've seen that a lot mentioned.
I've seen so many mentions of it, and I was like, right, BBC drama, what's not to like? And I started it last night. I do like it. I think next, because I've been watching, I'm so obsessed with Bodyguard. I do love it. It's very funny.
What's it about?
It's about a female assassin.
Oh.
I've only watched one episode, but so far, like, the cinematography is brilliant, the costumes are amazing.
Mm.
But Molly Goddard.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, like, very...
Oh, that's what I've seen. I think I've seen a press shot a few times.
Yeah, there's some great costumes. The plot's good. It's moving very quickly. But I think I'm just comparing it a little bit to Bodyguard, which I shouldn't do, because they are very, very different. But so far, I'm really enjoying it. I won't spoil too much, because the plot moves so quickly, it's hard to... spoil it.
Okay, that's fine. I know. I struggle.
But it's good. It's like it had a few funny moments, which I liked. Although the plot is quite dark, it kind of, the humour in it made it a bit more kind of digestible.
Made light of the situation.
Exactly that. And then after I watched that, I watched the Mercury Prize on telly.
Was that on last night?
Yeah, okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it was on BBC Four, which I don't think I've ever watched it, but because I don't really watch the Brits, I haven't watched, when is the Brits?
Asking me.
I think it's in February. But no, it was really good. Wolf Alice won, which was really nice. They were really happy, which was good.
Never heard of Wolf Alice.
They're really good. They're one of my favourites. So there was, who was up for it? There was Arctic Monkeys, Lily Allen, King Cruel. I think we're veering into territory where I'm going to lose you.
You've lost me.
Too late. But no, it was brilliant. It was really, really good. And yeah, had a really nice little evening. Joe was out watching the old football. So,
I just feel like the football is on all the time at the moment.
I know. That's
I'm glad Jack's away.
I know. I'm just like, oh, and another team. Go football!
shall we talk about this week's bake-off?
Oh, let's.
I'm a bit annoyed that Terry got a bit of a pass this week, to be honest.
I was a bit sad no one went.
Well, they said that potentially two people will go next week, and I do believe two people will go next week.
I feel like they will. Do you know what made me think this week? Like Wagon Wheel Week, which wasn't actually the official title of it, but it will be known as Wagon
this
Wheel Week.
This week was Dessert Week, yeah. Right?
But it did make me think about roulades. Because again, you know when you go into Marks and Spencer, you buy one around Christmas, and you're like, ooh, £6. That's a lot. The art of it.
The art of a roulade.
No one should have to roll a meringue in life.
I would just like to dedicate this episode to blancmange. It's one of my favourite things.
I'm horrified.
Do you hate blancmange?
I'm horrified. My mouth just went to the floor. I was like, it's like jelly's uglier cousin.
Oh my goodness, it's amazing. First of all, I really like the way...
I thought you liked the 70s, Charlotte, but this is ridiculous.
First of all, the way it's spelt is exceptional. Have you ever seen blancmange written down?
No, but I'm trying
There's like silent C's.
I'm trying to literally...
Do you think you could spell blancmange?
No, should we try and both spell blancmange?
Well, I definitely can't spell it. Can you spell it?
Blam. No.
Right, go on. Try and spell
blancmange. Is there a G and an H in it?
Okay, give me a blancmange spelling.
B L A M.
Yeah.
Blam. A.
No.
Oh my god! I've just seen it on the screen.
So
blancmange.
Yeah. B L A N C M A N G E. Silent C. Blancmange.
Blancmange. I mean, it's a very regal looking dessert, but it's just...
I absolutely love blancmange. And that blancmange, it was a raspberry blancmange. It was absolutely...
When you Google blancmange, the fourth image on Google is a rabbit-shaped blancmange. And it looks a bit phallic, doesn't it?
Jack's younger sister, who I've mentioned several times, she had a little rabbit phone charger. And I thought it... Yeah, I did not think it was a rabbit. It was a little pink one.
Yeah, that's what that blancmange looks like.
Yeah, that's got a bed of green jelly grass as well.
That literally...
Oh, look, there's another blancmange rabbit.
It's blancmange rabbits. Okay, that's something I've realised.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
There's a brain.
Oh, look, there's another one.
Do not Google blancmange because you'll be greeted with a whole host of things you did not want to see.
I would happily eat all of these.
I do like. Angel Delight.
Oh, do you know what, though? Have you tried it recently?
Have they changed the recipe?
Yeah, I'm convinced they've changed the recipe.
I like the powdery bits that you stumble across when you've done, the lumpy bits.
They're the bits I hate.
Oh, I love your bits.
So when I was younger, I used to go to my nan's house and I used to make a bowl of Angel Delight and my nana would let me eat the whole thing.
I feel like Angel Delight
Look
might be
something.
Look at this
blancmange, it's got painted roses on.
Should we describe what Angel Delight is? Because I feel there are definitely going to be people that do not know what Angel
Who
Delight
is. Who doesn't know what Angel Delight is?
Is it a UK thing?
Oh, hello international listeners.
I know. Angel Delight.
It comes in a packet and it's a powder. When I was younger, we had strawberry, banana, chocolate and occasionally butterscotch.
Butterscotch. I didn't like that. I do remember it though. It's a powdered dessert product produced in the UK. It's designed to be mixed and whisked with milk to create a mousse-like dessert. And then you just put it in. You basically have your powder, put your milk in, put it in the fridge.
No, you missed the bit where you whisk it.
Yeah, whisk it and then put it in the fridge. Same difference.
But yeah, it's the lumps of powder I do not enjoy.
Oh, I love those.
But I used to love it when I was younger. Oh, look. Oh, banana. Yeah, I used to like that flavour.
Oh.
And it's also available in mint chocolate.
Mint chocolate?
And white chocolate. Ooh. There we are. Shall we move on to Fridge Fantasy? Have we got anything else to say about the bake-off?
No.
What was the other thing they made? They made a roulade of blancmange.
Oh, the bomb dessert. The chocolate
bomb. Okay.
There's much more to say.
I love a chocolate bomb. Well, it had to be like chocolate. It does, doesn't it, to function. So if again, nobody knows what we're talking about. It's a chocolate dome, and then you pour sauce over it, and then it reveals an underlayer.
Of an interior dessert.
And yes, a second dessert.
Intense. Oh, Kim Joy's one with all the turtles inside.
I nearly wept at the sight of those turtles. I mean, I want to see inside Kim Joy's mind. That was just... It was inspired.
It must be a colourful place, mustn't it?
But those little turtles were all smiling.
She's just so pure.
She's so sweet. But yeah, I spoke to Jack on the phone because he was staying at his mum's house. He said, I've had to go upstairs. I can't. The tension is too much. He said it was stressing him out.
Oh my God, I don't blame him.
Yeah. My favourite chocolate bomb dessert that I've ever eaten is Bob Rickard. Which is just off Carnaby Street.
Oh, yeah, that's fancy.
Yeah, there, isn't it? I mean, it's fancy, you know. But
the Ivy do a good one that everyone raves on about.
Not been. I'll have to try it. Maybe we should do a chocolate bomb tour review.
Yeah, it might take a while, though, because I can't have more than one in a day.
That's true. They're very intense. Well, I think that's a nice introduction to Fridge Fantasy.
Okay, so this week, there hasn't been one standout new item, but there is this is a bit self promo-y, but I've been making a recipe that I had on my blog from years ago. It's my mum's mac and cheese.
Oh, how do you like your mac and cheese? Because I do not like mine too wet.
No, I don't like it too creamy. So I put it like, I do it so you can have a bit of sauce, but not too much.
Yeah.
Still quite dry and like crispy and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have bacon in it and tomato and, you know, a bit of basil sometimes, but it's amazing.
You weren't feeling very well, were you? That was the day you weren't well.
Yeah, no.
Just what you want. Nice bowl of mac and cheese.
Exactly what the doctor ordered.
I love mac and cheese. If I could eat mac and cheese every day, I think I would.
It's so good. It's really comforting and autumnal. But there is... Oh, this is worthy of Fridge Fantasy talk. This is worthy of Fridge Fantasy talk because last year there was a recipe on the Jamie Oliver website. It's for a butternut squash soup recipe. And we made it so much last year. And then towards the end of autumn... The recipe disappeared offline.
What happened?
No idea. It wasn't on the Jamie Oliver website anymore. And I was searching and I found the pin of it on Pinterest, clicked through, directed to nowhere. And I was like, ooh! And it's such a good recipe. It's like butternut squash, sage and pancetta. Ooh!
That sounds incredible.
It is incredible.
I rolled my eyes. It sounded that good.
And this year, the recipe's back.
Where's it been?
I don't know. Maybe it was sabbatical.
Maybe it was like, no, do you know what? You're not going to make me out of season.
Yeah, so that's it. So it's back now, which I'm over the moon about. So I'm going to make it this week. I was going to make it a couple of days yesterday, but I didn't.
Thanks for that story.
The end. What have you been eating?
Well, this week, because we've had some house guests, I got Lincolnshire sausages from the butchers because there is nothing like a Lincolnshire sausage from Lincolnshire. Not the ones you get in the supermarket that say they're Lincolnshire sausages and they're not. So I got them for Jack's mum and dad to try and impress them with a sausage butty.
Can you taste the difference?
Oh my goodness, yes, absolutely. Next time you come. And there's also a place in Lincolnshire called Boston, and if you get a Boston sausage, that's better than a Lincolnshire... I can't even talk, I'm so excited. A Lincolnshire sausage.
She's breathless.
Yeah.
She's breathless by pork.
So good. And then also this week, I took myself for a glass of champagne and a slice of chocolate cake.
I saw that. You classy lady.
So I just want to do a little shout out to Princhy on Wardour Street if you've not been.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I've been saying Princhy.
I've been saying Princhy because that's what the Italians say who work there.
Oh, well.
I might be pronouncing it wrong.
Now I'm the fool.
If you haven't been, it's just carb heaven. Somebody messaged me and said I found out I was a celiac and now I can't go. And your pictures have really upset me.
Aww.
So I'm sorry. I'm sorry to that person. I definitely feel your pain. Actually, she could have eaten the chocolate cake I had. That was flourless. Mm. So I had this slice of chocolate cake. This was earlier on in the day. It was £5.50 for a slice of chocolate cake. I got to the till and I was like, oh. So I sat and enjoyed it. And
maybe
it was delicious.
Maybe it was made how they make the wagon wheels on Bake Off. Maybe it was that kind of intense process.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to charge per slice for this. And then later on, I had an hour to spare before my train. And I thought, what should I do? And I thought, quite a fancy glass of champagne. So that's not really, champagne's not a new food, but I just thought the experience of taking yourself out for a slice of chocolate cake or a glass of champagne, we should all do a little bit more of.
I was like, wow, that looks like a fun thing. It's St Pancras and King's Cross.
Very glamorous.
Are two places that I think if you're going to have a glass of champagne you're in, that is exactly where you want to be doing it.
I was just perched on a bar stool, having a nice time.
Oh my God, I bet you were a delight on the train home.
Well, the train home was actually cancelled and I had to get another train. I ended up sitting on the floor of the vestibule.
Ooh.
Do you know that's what they're called?
I only know because of your stories where you said that is what it is.
The corridor between the trains, and I was sat on the floor, and because I'd had the glass of champagne, didn't really care. But let's close the fridge door, see what I did there.
I love that. That's got to be... also, next week, I would like to start introducing a new section as well.
Another new section. The podcast is getting too long.
It's going to get too long. Maybe we could, like, that if we've not eaten anything in that week that's interesting, we could do this section. And I want to introduce it, and it's called The Cheek of It, where we discuss something that's annoyed us this week.
Oh, okay, fine.
First bit of negativity. Your week.
Lots of things annoy me throughout the week, but I always forget, so I'll make sure I make a note of them.
Yeah, I know. Like, oh, I don't know.
What's annoyed you this week?
Well, checking the weather forecast, it's not been right a couple of times.
So what have you gone out in the... Well, actually, a lot of things have happened to me this week. I've gone out in knitwear and closed-toe shoes. It's boiling.
I've forgotten what 17 degrees is. I'm like, is that hot? Is it cold?
Yeah, I know, because 17 degrees in spring, we were all kind of like wanting to put our sandals on.
And you're like, oh, it's not hot enough for that. And then 17 degrees in autumn, you're like, definitely keeping those toes out.
Yeah, but and it's not quite jumper weather. Yeah. Where are you at?
I mean, that's not the cheekiest thing, but I'll think of more next week.
Can't wait.
Cross that off my list.
Let's move on to shopping.
Do you know what this week I discovered? Again, rediscovered, should I say, Bowden's jeans.
Oh, I asked Liv to shut the gate on the way in. I feel like I'm always saying something about locking the gates or shutting the gates. And whilst you were struggling with shutting the gate, I was admiring your jeans.
They're brilliant.
They're so good. Can you tell what the fit?
So they are called the Keswick jean.
How are you spelling that?
Like Keswick, like Chiswick.
Okay.
K-E-S... W-I-C-K.
I just like hearing you spell things.
Because it's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah. I can't spell. I don't know why I'm bullying you.
So they are a kind of mid-rise kick flare. And they are short. Someone did comment on my Instagram like, oh, you should have got a longer size. And I'm like, they're called crop kick flare. That's exactly what we're going
yeah,
for.
Yeah, that is exactly what they are. Have they got a bit of stretch in?
They have got a little bit of stretch.
But not too much. Hang on, let me feel that. Okay, that's fine.
It's nice because they maintain their shape.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Then, like, after a wash, they go back to it. It's, like, that nice amount of stretch where you're like, I can squeeze into them.
And how far are they coming up on my tummy button?
Just touching it.
Okay.
Just touching it.
Just grazing it.
Skimming it, which is exactly what I like.
Yeah.
Good for tucking things into. They're just a really nice fit.
I really, really did admire them earlier.
I'm really happy with them. They come in, like, an indigo wash, which is darker than this, and almost just, like, a classic blue.
Yeah. I like that one that you've got. What wash is that?
It's not the... There's indigo and then there's this one. I used to be really in love with their skinny jeans. I think as I've been wearing skinny jeans less and less, I forgot how much I like them. And then Bowden kindly sent me a pair from their new range, which are these ones. I just love them. I think they're great.
Yeah, no, you're rocking those.
One more thing I bought this week with a voucher I had is a pair of cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? Again... I admired them in my head, didn't say it out loud, but didn't actually note the significance of a cowboy boot coming back.
I've seen so many people wearing them. I feel like I gave in and then I was like, oh God, do I even want
it? Is it 2002 again?
And does one even require a cowboy boot? But yeah, they're great. They're very cool. I feel like Alex Turner.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't
the famous cowboy.
Yeah, I was going to say...
So much to unpick there.
Yeah, so much to unpick. Where are your cowboy boots from?
They're Ganni.
They're nice.
So they're I've seen a lot of... Ganni do some quite wild ones. They've got a very famous white pair that are doing the rounds, and a white and black pair, and a pink and black pair. But these are kind of like a patent mock croc, kind of like navy and very dark brown. So I'm very excited to wear them like midi dresses.
Yeah, you were looking good. I'm still furious because for my 18th birthday, my... like big present was a pair of cowboy boots from a shop which I don't think is there anymore on the King's Road, and it was called Our Souls. like R, the letter R, and then
souls. Oh, so like arseholes.
Yeah. I had them, arseholes. And mum, you know, mum was like, do you know what I think, you know, a Tiffany necklace or anything? I was like, no, I want some cowboy boots.
I want cowboy boots, some arseholes.
And they were amazing. We went down, and my dad, 100% chucked them away.
Disappointing.
But luckily for him, my feet have swollen through pregnancy, so now I wouldn't be able to wear them.
But Topshop have got a very, very good pair, similar to the Genny ones. If you are looking for some, Topshop have a great selection, which I noticed.
I don't know if I can go back. I was wearing cords the other day, which is one thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm pretty much dressed like my 16-year-old self.
Yeah, I think you have to. There's a delicate line. I think I'm almost, like, if I have my cords, this check jacket on, and my cowboy boots...
Yeah.
We'd be on the tightrope.
I said it to my mum. So I have got some trousers from Finery and they're cords. I've got a baby blue pair and they're kind of a berry red colour. But the baby blue pair are a cropped flare again. I would probably say regular to jumbo cord, yeah. Somewhere in between.
Not needlepoint.
And they're high-waisted. And I had them on with the cream Converse, give a damn t-shirt. I had a hair clip in my hair. And I said to mum, I was like, remind you of anything? 16-year-old me. And she looked me up and down and was like, oh my God. Yes, you're dressed exactly like you were when you were 16. God. If I put a rainbow belt on with a plastic apple clasp and some beads on my arm.
Well.
We've both got to tread carefully.
I know, it's a delicate line, but I need to just be careful. I mean, today I've got my flares on. I've got a blazer, check blazer. I feel a little bit like Steve Coogan. I look a little bit like dad-like.
Oh my goodness!
It's delicate. It's quite delicate. So especially because I've got a big like overnight bag.
You are Steve Coogan.
I know.
Who was at the Alexa Chung presentation at London Fashion Week, by the way?
I saw.
I'll keep it brief. This week, apart from the cords, I've just bought some makeup bits. I've bought some concealer from Glossier, the stretch concealer.
Mm.
Really liking that. And I went into John Lewis and I normally have Chanel foundation, but I wanted something a bit different. So I went for the Charlotte Tilbury and I've brought it here because I knew I'd forget the name of it. And it's just called Light Wonder.
Mm.
And it's got an SPF 15 and it's a light coverage.
Perfect.
And I normally go for something a little bit thicker, but I thought actually it tends to just sit. This is like sat on my skin, whereas some of the heavier stuff, as I'm getting older, it kind of like embeds on my skin and I don't need that. So, yeah, not actually bought a lot this week. I'm thinking about a lot of things. Those office boots that we talked about a few weeks ago, the Aloha ones. Which colour did you go
Black.
For? Oh, okay.
The leather's very, very, very soft. I was talking to Sophia of Sophia Rosemary fame, and she said office boots can lose their shape, but I bought them. The leather is very soft, so I can imagine them literally moulding around my feet, which could be nice, but you might see like an outline of toe, which might not be
so. Yeah, I know what you mean. So I tried on the blue suede ones because I've got the black by far ones.
Oh, yeah.
And I got them resold this week, which I still haven't picked up from the cobblers. But anyway, I tried on the blue suede ones and I loved them. And I've been admiring them. I know that they're not practical, but I just can't get them out of my head.
Yeah, that's what I did with the black ones. They are lovely. They feel like, did you ever do like more jazz dancing?
Yes, I did.
Do the shoes, the lace-up shoes.
Yes, I know. And they're
like
ones.
So thin, they like you might see an outline of your toes.
Yeah,
like that kind of leather.
Okay, interesting. So I don't know. I'm still dancing around those boots.
No pun intended.
Skating around
the idea.
And that's me. I've done the returns. As I said, I've taken the Topshop suit back, taken the monkey jumpsuit back, and I'm feeling good about those choices.
Good. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
I'm an adult.
You are so adult.
I know.
Congrats.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, so today's topic, we are going in with the talk about influencers and on being online. It's a meaty topic, but it's one that Charlotte and I have had a lot of thoughts over and been discussing kind of on WhatsApp and voice notes over the last couple of weeks. And there's been a lot of pieces about it online, so we thought we'd tap into it.
Firstly, never listen back to your voice notes that you send over WhatsApp.
Oh my God, we were in bits earlier.
We sound like ridiculous humans.
Yeah, I know. It's a funny listen.
Don't listen to it back. But we kind of, there was some really interesting articles. I'm going to start with the articles that kind of have prompted this conversation, and generally just kind of like feelings amongst friends, but Grazia is how I say it.
Grazia
released an article on the 29th of August, and it was entitled, "As the Government Cracks Down, We Go Inside the Murky World of Influencer Marketing." The other articles that we're going to discuss is our friend Brittany Bathgate.co.uk. She wrote an article. What is the title of this article?
We're so far down, we've been admiring all the pictures.
Yeah, actually, to be fair, the title's got nothing to do with the content. But she was just talking about how much of ourselves we have to reveal online. And then the cherry on the cake that made us decide on this topic was Pandora Sykes wrote an article for Man Repeller, and that was entitled, "I Don't Want to Convey Perfection Online, comma, but Must I Bare My Soul?" And that was on the 14th of this month. And all of them have just struck a lot of chords, I think.
Been a lot of food for thought.
I mean, Liv and me both would be regarded as influencers, so I think it was just quite interesting for us to talk about it.
We just had a lot of feelings. I think the first thing that we both started discussing is when and how influencer became a bit of a dirty word,
yeah,
and a word that's almost kind of like spat out a little bit when people go, "Oh, influencers," it's a little bit said like that. And people are very reluctant to title themselves influencers, or they might refer to themselves as an accidental influencer. Which I know is something we've both spoken about, because I think, essentially, are we not all accidental influencers to an extent? I mean, when I think about why I started blogging, you know, when everyone was really, I mean, everyone still is very much obsessed with people like Alexa Chung, in a way you could have called her an influencer at the time.
I mean, that girl influenced everything I wore for about 5 years. I was like, what, well, still is.
So that's the thing, and I feel like, although she has lots of other titles, perhaps if the word influencer was a thing then, would we have called her an influencer?
I think the problem with the word influencer is nobody, I guess, who works in blogging or who is a writer or a podcaster or anybody that's in any portion of the public eye, nobody decided on that word. It was decided, by probably somebody at the Daily Mail, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, and I feel like, on one hand, I'm really for it because I think it's a free market. Like, anyone could be an influencer, which makes it really accessible to everyone, which is really good. It's such a nice thing about the internet, is that anyone can do it. Anyone can be a blogger, anyone can do it if they want to, which is great. But I've always kind of said it almost belittles everything else you do, because it kind of boils you down to being like a public enabler. It's kind of saying like, oh, you can make someone buy something or do something, which is great, and it's a knock-on from the other things you do. But you're like, I know in the Grazia article, there's me, Grazia, it was said that perhaps because it's not an academic thing that people do get a bit funny about it, but I do feel like it does undermine the worth that you've worked towards, potentially.
I think one of the big issues with, you know, why the word influencer or influencers in general can get people's back up is because there's not, I don't want, no, that's a blanket term. Some people And it's always a minority that ruin it for everybody else. But some people aren't very transparent or honest. So, for example, I am always transparent if I have been gifted something. And again, I've said that I don't like the word gifted, because if a brand sends you something, they are hoping that you will feature it so that they will get sales. It's kind of a business transaction.
Yeah.
And I know that doesn't happen in every job. And it's, you know, and I think before we go any further, I know that we're very lucky to do what we do. We're in a privileged position. But I think because I keep seeing these articles, I felt that we like really wanted to address.
Yeah, our side, not our side.
Our side.
Our side of the story. Get the tiny violins out.
I'm influenced by you. I'm influenced by my friends. I'm influenced by people online. But what I know is that's how I shop now.
Yeah.
I don't read I pick up magazines, but I don't do it religiously every month. I don't watch that much TV. I mean, I watch a lot of TV. But
In the name of research.
Yeah, but I fast forward the adverts. Where do I get my inspiration? Where do I find out about brands I like, things I like, places I like, food I like? It's from all these, my social networks.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. I love it because I can really drill down into my corner of the internet and find things that are right up my aesthetic, or, you know, things that really excite me.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because I had a message earlier today and it was kind of like, well, as an influencer, you have your position of responsibility, which I totally understand. I'm very sensitive about, and I'm very careful with, because I think there's a lot of people that do follow, but then you kind of think like, you didn't choose that responsibility in a way. Do you know what I mean? Is that coming across?
Well, you're literally like Spider-Man with,
with that is the first time that's been said.
With great power comes great responsibility. But Dolly Alderton on the high-low, on the first episode that they came back with after their summer break. So Dolly said, "I don't think anyone should be forced into showing realness of their private life in the online world at the risk of being accused of being some big, fat, deceitful liar if they don't." So I think this is some of the questions that are coming up. And then Pandora, in the Man Repeller article that she wrote, what is that quote?
I know that she says it kind of being raw promotes a lot of commentary.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I kind of feel, as someone who works primarily online, is quite public about things. That's the side that makes me hold back from sharing, because it's the commentary. And because it's your real life, you kind of feel a bit like, I don't really want everyone to have commentary on those things that I'm doing, and if I'm doing them wrong, or... Do you know what I mean? It's like you're just pottering around your normal life, you're documenting it, but then it's someone saying to you, that's wrong. Well, Brittany discusses this. She kind of says that you feel like if you're not putting out something raw and honest, is there any value to it?
Mm.
And it's like when we all started, it was just sharing things for the love of sharing things. But now everything seems to, you feel like everything needs to be really poignant and really meaningful and really raw and deep and honest, which is obviously amazing. It's so exciting to see so many people being so candid about all these personal things, which obviously makes the world feel like a smaller place, and it makes the world feel less daunting when you know people can relate to you on things that are quite private. But equally, if you're not discussing them, I don't think it makes you any less of a real person online. It doesn't make you inauthentic. It just means you're choosing not to disclose those things to a large audience.
Definitely. I think frivolity, now there's a word I've not said for a while, that's quite fun. But it's going back to one of the questions that gets asked quite a lot, because I've always worked in fashion. I have a degree in fashion, and a lot of people have always questioned that. And is that because the fashion industry, although it has quite a few problems, as most industries do, but is it because it's a women orientated industry and fashion is seen as very frivolous? But I think fashion is very powerful. Like, yeah. The way it makes me feel, you know, I've always been obsessed with it. I've always been obsessed with clothes, and, you know, they reflect my mood and they can make me feel so much joy. And yeah, do we need to balance that out with...
I think, yeah, there is that need that whenever we post, like, whenever I posted an outfit blog post, I felt that I needed to support it with like a real depth and a real kind of like think piece style open article, when really it's just like all I want to do is share something, or a brand, or it's, yeah, you feel like you have to justify the need of talking about clothes or something that is not, like, perhaps what people like to describe as surface level, vapid or something, by going into a real depth about something else.
I think, you know, like you've just talked about those jeans, sometimes I honestly just want to know about a good pair of jeans or a good pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I don't need to the writer to bare their soul. I'm happy to share online, but I think some of the articles that I've read is, you know, not everybody feels comfortable with that. And it's definitely taken me a while to get used to it. And now I'm so used to it, I will share online. And I think where I draw the line, I always think about what I've always been interested to know. For example, you know, I'm always interested in people, how people make their money, or interested in how shoots go on, or how people work with brands. So that's the kind of stuff I share online, because when I worked in an office and I was like, how can I do this full time? They're the questions that went through my head. So I'm very happy to share, but it doesn't mean everybody should have to share. Yeah. And it doesn't make the other people that don't share any less of a better person than, oh, than me.
And I do think sharing online is becoming, like we touched on earlier in the car, a scarier thing to do, because there is so much noise, and it can be quite difficult to share things online, because we've spoken about it before in other previous episodes, where you think it can be quite scary to get things wrong in such a public sphere.
I think perfectionism doesn't exist,
and I think you're always learning and you're always developing your thoughts and opinions on things. So you might share, for example, I shared something that I'd seen Jamila Jamil post recently, and I posted it and it struck a chord with me, and then thought about it for a bit and I was like, actually, there's elements of this I don't necessarily totally agree with. And then it was following up to that. And in that time, people had already kind of jumped on it and said, actually, what about this? What about this? You don't almost have that breathing room or thinking space to kind of correct yourself or properly form a discussion, because people are already kind of, it can be quite difficult to articulate yourself, because I think although some people might say, oh, you're an influencer, you're still a normal person. Do you know what I mean? I think it's weird, isn't it? Because I think,
but even you saying that, like, influencer and normal person, like, I think that's the point.
Yeah,
the word influencer is just such a crappy word, it's because we're all almost normal people,
and that's the thing. It almost puts you on, if like someone sent me a message like, oh, well, you're an influencer, you should be da 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 da, and I was thinking, well, I'm not, I'm a normal person. Like, I do have influence, and I'm obviously...
I mean, I buy all the stuff that you
buy. I don't mean that in a big-headed way, but, you know, when you have got a social following, you do have responsibility.
But then do you?
I know. To an extent, I feel like I have self-inflicted responsibility, but I don't think... People don't choose it.
Yeah, I think it's your personal values, isn't it? That's why I like to share, because my personal values, if you see me at a party, I'm always at parties.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I will always overshare. I always have overshared.
I think that's
who I am.
Whether you had 5 followers or 500,000 followers,
yeah, I've always
that's
overshared.
What you'd always do. And I think that's the thing. And you try and maintain that. But obviously, when more and more people are tuning in, that's when you kind of feel you need to taper that a bit, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's definitely things that I won't talk about online. So I've never ever mentioned June's sleep online, just because I know that that will provoke a lot of conversation and reactions from people. But I think people that do talk about that online are brilliant, because when I have been up at whatever hours of the morning because she won't sleep, I've been reading those people's posts.
Yeah.
But for me, it just doesn't feel comfortable. And I think everybody has to decide what works for them.
With.
You know, whether you have 5 followers, like you say, because everyone has a following now. It doesn't matter, well, unless you're not on social media like that woman in the circle. But I think perfectionism, as I say, it doesn't exist. And I think something I am seeing online a little bit more now is respectful conversations, which I quite like.
Yeah.
So somebody has an opinion and they actually can present it in a kind way, and then somebody can respond to them in a nice way. It doesn't have to be maybe what we've seen before of like trolling, where it's like, I don't agree with this, and then that person comes back like because they've got the backup. Like, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who didn't necessarily like a campaign I was doing, which was totally fine, and I addressed her comments, and then she replied to me and I replied to her, and it was all very nice. and what nice, but you know what it what yeah. it wasn't. Whereas before it might have sent me off in tears, or you know she might have got her back up. And I think that's something that I'm starting to see online that I like. But I think one of the things is there's no rules, as in there are rules. You've got the Advertising Standards Authority. So you know you declare if it's an ad, you declare if it's an item you've not paid for, or if you've got an agreement with the brand. The thing about the Grazia article I didn't like was the headline where it says the murky world of influencers.
Yeah.
Like the influencers
were
murky.
Like people are trying to go undercover and be like, oh.
And it's not that. It's because people are trying to figure things out with
no guidance.
Yeah, not a lot of information. So you can call the Advertising Standards Authority and, you know, find out more information. But generally, that there isn't a set of guidelines.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think even with them as an authority, you get mixed messages for things. Yeah. And it's not one size fits all, unfortunately, because it is so varied. And I think that makes it more difficult.
But again, another thing I said online this week was Grazia had two amazing covers this week, and one featured, was it six or seven women? And they all had different disabilities. And I shared one of the posts and I said, oh, what an inspiring piece. And then somebody messaged me and said, you know, not everybody with a disability likes to be referred to as inspiring. And she sent me some resources and some articles. I read them and they were really informative. And now I totally get why. And again, it's using the word some. I think sometimes on the internet we label everybody or tar everybody with the same brush. And it's all down to the individual. So when I read those articles, I understood and I rethought the word of my use inspirational when it comes to people with disabilities. But that's down to the individual.
Yeah, of course it is.
But, you know, it's to tread carefully. But and that's nice as well, people educating each other, but not in a preachy way.
I think that's the thing. I think I'm so open to people welcoming that. And I love learning from the response I get from different people, because I think that's what makes me a better person in a really self-indulgent way. But that's how I learn things, and especially if you're in a job that is on your own, they are essentially people that are educating you and telling you things. It's so important. But sometimes, you know, we were saying earlier, like, people might come back in quite a harsh way and say that use of that word is problematic, and we were saying that things like that are bandied around so much now that you kind of think, oh, if like everything's problematic to an extent sometimes.
Yeah, I think they're such important issues. I love Florence Given on Instagram.
She's brilliant.
You know, and actually, if you don't follow her, go and do that. You know, she is bringing up some problematic subjects. Some, you know, I don't know. I just think language is quite an interesting one online, and something that has to be definitely thought about. But I'm interested to see where the future goes. Also in my notes I have written, magazines aren't as transparent as I think.
Yeah,
quite a lot of. I like to be transparent, but you know, if you think about magazines, as I made the point yesterday, they get lots of things sent for free. They never just disclose that. They also had advertisers, and it's kind of an unwritten rule that an advertiser should generally appear in the editorial shoot if they're advertising.
Do you think I'm going to play devil's advocate?
Oh,
here.
Go on.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. Do you think though people read magazines and they assume, they know people wouldn't have paid for it, so they assume their magazine would probably be sent the products. Whereas with an individual who is a, you know, inverted commas, normal person, they're assuming that they would have bought everything.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Obviously, that's why I understand there has to be such clarity with, inverted commas, influencers, because I feel like they're a one-person team, and they're coming across as, you know, some people don't kind of brand themselves as brands, so people kind of think it's like following a friend, whereas actually if you're featuring products because you want to get a certain campaign, that's when it kind of, you think, actually, I don't know, I'm being cynical.
No, I totally
and I'm
get what you're
playing
saying.
Devil's advocate, because I don't want people to say, like, hear that and then think everyone they're following is suddenly featuring things because of that reason, if that makes sense. But I do think it's interesting with disclosure and that, and being transparent.
But then I think it goes back to that thing of, if somebody is bothering you, just unfollow them.
Yeah, I'll completely.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about briefly was somebody branded me an Insta mum this week, and I got a bit annoyed. And it isn't the fact that I think just some of the terms that are used online are a bit annoying, but what annoyed me was the fact that because I have a child, I'm immediately just put into an Insta mum camp. And I've got nothing against people that talk about parenting online. As I said, I've mentioned before, I found it hugely helpful. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, what happened if you have a child?
Do you instantly fly into that camp? Like, you know.
Yeah, I'm somebody who works and talks about fashion, but I have a child. Why is the word mum labelled? I'm a person who has a daughter.
You
and
then
I
become
am
defined by having a child.
Yeah, and I just thought that was really interesting as well. You know, I don't give parenting advice. I don't talk about breastfeeding, bottle feeding, weaning, sleep. I'll occasionally talk about June's clothes or her toys, yeah. But not, you know, and that there, as Pandora used the phrase, you know, she had to draw some lines in the sand, and that's where my lines are drawn.
Yeah.
I won't talk about anything June does as an advert.
Yeah.
But that, because that doesn't feel right for me, but it's totally fine for other people.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's interesting. I don't know if we've made any points, but I just feel like...
I feel like that. I'm just like, I hope there's some information in here that could be useful, because I feel like this is almost a response to things that have been said online about influencers online, and maybe it might make it clear for people. Hopefully there might be something, a takeaway in here.
Yeah. Or not. Or just skip this part. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I want the internet to be a more positive place. One place I can't actually deal with at the moment is Twitter.
See, I feel like I love Twitter, but yeah. I think it's a lot down to who you follow.
Yeah, I've just got a lot of...
It can be quite a noisy place.
Yeah, I think noisy is a good word for it. I think I don't have enough brain capacity for that at the moment.
I feel like the reason I love... the main time I'm on Twitter is when a TV show I love is on.
Yeah.
And I love being part of that conversation. And I think I've mentioned him in the past, but people like Scott Bryan. Oh my God, I feel like I do mention him quite a lot.
I've remembered the fish, so I can't
remember.
Okay,
well, yeah, he's the TV editor of BuzzFeed. And I just love getting TV information.
Yeah.
And that's why I enjoy it. I don't like seeing... I don't know. I feel like the word discussion as well is almost sometimes used as a means of having an argument. Like, oh, opening up a discussion here, and I'm like, oh, but is it a discussion? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I don't know.
Have I said too much?
Yeah. Do we have any closing points?
I don't want to sound like I've just had a rant or just been self-indulgent, been like, oh yeah, being an influencer. I don't want an influencer. I don't know. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because equally, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine who works in a very different industry, and for example, they do like film directing, but they do lots of other things, but they're always just, you know, labelled as one thing. And I'm like, does that naturally just happen when you have a career that has lots of different slashes in it? Do you know what I mean? Is it universal that someone would just go, oh, she's a blogger, or she's a that? But I think the thing with influencers especially is, I think because it is, yeah, like we said, like an open market, perhaps that's the reason people get a bit turned off from the word.
But I think what's interesting is...
Because there's people like... Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine.
Because there's people like people from Love Island who are now influencers who have just been doing it and are selling teeth whitening strips. And then there are people who have been doing it for years and have studied and have, you know, built up a brand, and they have the same job. But then is that a snobby thing as well?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. We've had that conversation before. Who are we to define, you know, the difference between selling teeth whitening strips and selling a pair of, I don't know, £200 suede sandals?
Yeah.
Who is
it a class thing?
Yeah. Oh, goodness, I feel like we've just opened another can of worms. But I think that is really interesting, because sometimes things are looked down upon. And
that's the thing, like you subliminally think, oh, so the people from Love Island, for example, this is, you know, just saying.
Yeah.
And they're labelled as influencers. And then sometimes you'd be like, oh, do I want to be in the pool of them? Or maybe it's just reclaiming the word influencer and saying, you know, that might be an umbrella term, but you can do a lot of things. And it doesn't matter whether you just do the one thing and you are primarily a salesperson, or you do a lot of things, because, you know, it's...
Well, I think I've said this to you before. I've said it on the podcast, but when I had Betty as a magazine, it was a printed magazine and it didn't make any money, people were like, oh, you have a magazine, that's incredible. Once I stopped having the magazine, concentrated on Betty, the blog, and Instagram, and started making more money, that's when people are like, oh, so you're a blogger. Oh, so you're an influencer. And I get that face.
Oh, yeah, the kind of like...
the screwed up face.
I've just smelt that the fart face.
Yeah, but it's interesting. But when I wasn't making any money, and I wasn't, you know, it paid for itself, but I had three other jobs, I was respected. But then once I took a career turn...
And it's the use of people saying accidental influencer.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, but I think we're all accidental, but yeah. I think just own it.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to come up with some new words, some more fun words.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, if we all start owning it, people might, you know, start going, okay, that's cool. Whereas I think sometimes it's the way we approach it as well. We go, oh, yeah, I'm a blogger.
It isn't a nice word. I don't know, what does the word influence mean?
Yeah.
As in, what's the Oxford Dictionary got to say about that? Let's have a look.
Instagram. I love that you literally just went Instagram, and I was like, no, that's not going to be the answer.
So influencer isn't actually technically, doesn't come up as in, it's not in a dictionary, I don't think. So if you Google it, it comes up with influencer marketing, a form of marketing in which focus is placed on influential people rather than the target market as a whole. It identifies the individuals that have influence over potential customers and orients marketing activities around those influencers. Well, that was a clear as
that much. Just, I was going to say, that sounds like a lot of like buzzword jargon, doesn't it? Like, buzzword, influencer, marketing, customers, marketing, selling. I'm just like, no, I don't understand.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was, that. I'm just going to close, well, I'm not going to close my laptop because the podcast will stop recording. But anyway, I'm going to wrap it up because I feel like we could talk about this forever.
I feel like we could, and perhaps it'll be something that we should come back to another time, especially if people have any questions, because I feel like we have waffled a little bit. I feel like when we did decide to approach this topic, it was quite broad and it was just mainly responding to a lot of articles that we'd had a lot of thoughts on. And I think where this podcast has those chats that you'd have with a friend, we were like, let's take all these chats we're having and share them.
And record them. And why not?
At your poor ears' expense.
We'll be back next week. If you would like to review, rate us and subscribe, that helps other people find us. And don't forget that you can go to the Facebook group, which is on facebook.com/groups/The Fringe of It.
Yep, there's lots of wonderful people there. So do head on over, because I'm sure they would love to have a little chat with you.
And we will be in your ears next week.
With a guest. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.